What pissed me off was when I was a kid, my parents, every time I would get money for my birthday or something, they'd be like, we're taking a portion of this to save for your college fund. And so there was years where I would get like $200 for my birthday from all my relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, I'm going to buy myself the biggest Lego set ever. They would take like 3/4 of that money and like put it away somewhere, because like you can't give a kid that's 8 years old $200. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got older and I got to college, I was like, so what happened to my college fund? Like, it's gone. Like, because my parents got divorced, we went through hard times. Like, I'm not upset about it.
But yeah.
It was just like one of those things where like I spent all of my elementary school years getting my basically my paychecks. I forget what the word is, but when they forcibly take money, like,
oh yeah, I know what you're
garnished.
Talking
about. I was having all my wages garnished by my parents when I was a kid.
That's
and
a
then
funny word.
And then later I had nothing to show for it. And I remember thinking they had the, oh man, they had the Lego series. I think it was called Alpha Team.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember wanting like this big like robot that was like really expensive, and I wanted the set so bad. And then after my birthday money got garnished, my wages got garnished, I couldn't afford it, and I was like, I was so mad.
That's garnish. That's interesting, because like you can put like a garnish on a salad, but you can also garnish wages.
Yeah, it's like having your wages garnished would be like receiving a paycheck in the mail and you open it and there's like parsley in there.
But it's interesting, like in theory, what could have been done, and you like you can't go back and change this, but there are accounts, there's certain like bank accounts,
mm-hmm,
that are set up that if you put money in there, no one can touch it except for, like, it's designated for certain things. So it's like, it's only for college education. So anything in there, like, people couldn't withdraw without taking huge hits.
Yeah.
So you can like earmark certain things for that. But then we're way past that.
Yeah. It was funny too. My
welcome to tax season, everyone.
Oh yeah. We had a, welcome to Small Town Radio. I'm your host, Maxim. This sweet angel over here is your other host, Connor. We just, before this episode started recording, we had a very long discussion about taxes, which is probably good that we didn't record, because, man, we would have put you to sleep. But yeah. No, anyway, my grandparents bought a bunch of bonds for me when I was a baby, and for my brother, and like a bunch of other, all of my generation and my family. And it was funny, because when I got to college, like a year or two into college, my dad would give me like a lump sum of these like bonds at certain points. And I remember going into banks to turn them in and the banker just being like, where did you get these? I'm like, listen, man, it's from a different time.
Bonds are all online now.
You can still buy bonds?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Stocks and bonds. That's just still like, yeah.
Well, I know about stocks, but I don't know about bonds.
Bonds, yeah. Government bonds and like, yeah, you can buy different types. Education bonds. There's all different types.
Let me ask you this, okay? Let's say I get like a couple of G's from this tax return, and I can either spend it right now or I can invest in bonds from the government.
You can't see it, but Maxim's just flexing over my unemployed body.
Do you think that by the time I can turn those bonds in for real money, do you think we will have all died from climate change?
Well, the big thing about bonds is you need to know if those are income or not. I'm assuming in your case, it would be counted as income. So in theory, when you turn your bonds in,
mm-hmm,
you want to be doing it when you're not making that much money, because it could bump you accidentally into another tax bracket.
That is true. You do get taxed on those.
Yeah. So to answer your other question, I sure hope not. How long are you expecting to hold on to these bonds? They stop maturing at some point.
It takes like, I think they take like 18 years.
And when you said, like, you got them as a child?
Yeah, like when I was born.
Yeah. How old are you?
Oh, I'm 25.
Yeah.
So if I bought bonds now, though,
they're not maturing. You probably should take them out and either invest them or put into like a small growth money market.
No, account. I'm saying that like I turned all of my bonds in.
Yeah.
If I went and bought bonds today.
Oh, bought them today.
Well, not today. Whenever I get my tax return.
I think
I'm not saying I'm seriously thinking about buying bonds. I'm just wondering.
I don't know. 18 years. I sure hope we have that much time left. I think the bigger thing that you should worry about is the economy. We're gonna you're not supposed to have unsustained growth in a cyclical cycle.
What if in 20 years, which country would you invest your money in that would be most likely to have growth in their economy?
To be honest, like I know a decent amount about like markets and stuff. I used to be the host of a financial tech
for two weeks.
I was, but my dad's really interested in all this stuff. Okay. India's doing really well.
Okay.
They're definitely no longer in the third world category. They're like a developing nation and seems to be like figuring stuff out with their economy. So that's like, if you want to, in theory, you're looking for something with a lot of growth in that period of time. India seems to be pretty good. What other? That's the only one that really like jumps out at me.
That's a good one. I always thought like if I was going to play a like an NFL draft, but with nations like UN draft or something, I'd probably draft India in the long term.
Yeah, I think they seem to be. Well, they definitely have some issues over there.
Also, I want to chime in with some effect. So you referred to them as a third world country. Do you know where the term...
Yeah, those, the communist and non-communist.
Yeah, it was the US, during the Cold War. First world was America. Yeah. Second world was USSR. Third world was anyone not involved.
Oh, I thought it was first and third and then like... Okay, so I get those backwards.
Yeah, so if you were not with the United States or the USSR, you're a third world country. So that means like there were certain places like if you weren't part of NATO, I'm pretty sure would be the opposite, would be first world. So like there would be European countries that we would consider third world back then because they didn't care. Like Switzerland would be a third world country, and we incorrectly use that term all the time.
Yeah, no, it's Well,
towns.
Towns. Well, we should say, you should listen to our podcast. If you haven't been already, you can find us. This is Small Town Radio, as Maxim said up top. I am name redacted. we are on Instagram and Twitter at ST Radio Pod.
Good job.
And Gmail at Good News. No, that's my other one.
Where are your loyalties, Connor?
smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. Do we have any more comments? We got listener mail. Well, we didn't say it on the last one because it came in. So we got listener mail from Jack Swimer the day after we recorded our last episode. So technically this is like, by the time you hear it, it'll be almost 2 weeks that we got listener mail. But you know Jack Swimer if you've been listening, so we haven't gone through that on this yet.
He sent in photos, right?
Yeah, well, Jack sent, Maxim said, and I quote, if we don't have listener mail by this time next week, I will murder my co-host. And so Jack, knowing me, was like, you know what? Not today. Maybe next time. But
I will say I completely forgot about that. So
yeah,
if we didn't get listener mail, I probably wouldn't have followed through because I forget stuff like that all the time.
Well, Jack Swimer, this is our mailbag section, said, "Hey guys, attached are some photos of me on my trip to Virginia City. Love the podcast. Hampstead is the best small town, which is the only truest fact on this show. Best Jack Swimer," and he has some photos that we're gonna put out on Instagram this week.
Would you do me a favor and describe them?
The photos?
Yeah.
They're in like a railroad car. Jack, his mom, and his now wife are in this like old Virginia City
mining cart.
Yeah, mining cart here. And then let's see, Jack. what is this? A picture cutout? Like the head cutouts?
There's a comedian who talks about this that we don't have a name for these things, but they're pictures with holes cut in them for your face.
Yeah.
And they look like they're riding in a carriage.
Yeah. And then this is. This looks like a shop or like a market area that Jack's in with his socks.
Oh, Jack, I love this photo. This is excellent. This is very much like a photo I would take of myself.
Yeah, no, Jack, Jack, thank you very much for the photos. Thanks for the mail. We also got some other stuff via social media, mostly in response to stickers that
Real quick, I just want to say Virginia City, where Jack is sending these photos in, that is episode 7. So episode have yourself a listen. Eureka, we've got ostrich races.
Yeah, Virginia City has ostrich races.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so stickers.
I made some stickers. I made a post on our Instagram. You can check them out if you like them. The first batch, I only made 25, and we got some to give out to people. But if you want one and you're not in the New York City area, feel free to drop the account a DM. The stickers are $3. All the money is going to go back into the podcast to make merch and other stuff. They're $3. Just DM the podcast. I'll reply with my Venmo. You send me your address and I will mail them out as soon as I can. So we'll get stickers to everybody. This is just the first batch. We got a lot more. I got a couple more designs I want to do. So we'll make some, figure it out. They're really high quality, very good. Good for your water bottle, good for the back of your car, good for bathrooms and comedy clubs.
Yes, and we don't have any more new ratings, as far as I can tell. No new reviews on
Apple. Wow, it's like you guys hate us. All 35 of you.
Or 18 this week.
We got really low numbers in the last episode. Episode before last.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I just want to ask, what's the problem?
What was it, MLK Day?
That's, I think, your so. Theory. I think, yeah, I theorized that because it was Martin Luther King Day, people weren't working, so they didn't have their podcast time during their commute like they normally would.
Yeah. And so... We're trying to grow this thing now. Maxim, I think, has learned, taking on the editing, that there's the amount of work that goes into a podcast is something that should be appreciated by everyone.
Yeah, if anything, we should all be mailing Connor just a little bit of money here and there. But really, though, like, since I learned how to edit, when I listen to my favorite podcast now, I am angry. Because I can't enjoy them in the same way, because I'm like, how are you going to record a 2-hour long podcast and not edit out someone going like, oh, it drives me crazy.
I was checking reviews, and I agree. The mouth noises drive me crazy. I went to a show last night, a bringer show. I went to support one of my friends, and I just got a text saying, hey, Connor, didn't see you last night. I went up to him and shook his hand after the show. I don't know. Yeah, that's real time reaction with Connor. But the other thing that before getting into towns is last week we put out our theory with Trevor that we were getting hacked with names,
or our poll was being
It's very weird because if you looked at last week's, we had just under 30 or so reviews, 30 votes, just under 30. This week, what do we have, like 15?
Yeah, it's a lot lower. I think this week we have, 14.
14. Last week we had double that at least. This week we also have none on our selected version, like City got 0 votes, as it should.
Yeah.
But the conspiracy before, if you're new to this, was the one that we had selected got way more. It was always a landslide of votes for the one that we said was correct. And it was always the last possible answer on the poll. This time it's the second possible answer and it has 0 votes. So either, if you want to attract bots to your page, put the correct answer to your poll as last, or they have heard our episode that is not out yet at this moment and went, they're on to us.
Connor is digging deep into the Matrix code here.
We a conspiracy theory podcast.
Really, really behind many curtains here.
But isn't that wild? For me, I thought we'd still have some traction, but there's 0 votes on the one that we selected.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. It's not a very good episode name. I think the one that won old Boomer of the Mountain, New Hampshire episode. I think that's a very solid episode title. Like, that's an obvious winner.
It describes the episode well. And then there was one thing, we talked about this before. We had one name out there about school. I worked for Phillips Exeter. I love Phillips Exeter. There's a story in there if you just, you know, listening for it.
If you listen to the episode, the name
makes perfect sense.
But Connor wants to come out and make a public statement.
Because I'm a sweet little angel.
Because he's a sweet little angel.
No, I worked for them. It's all good.
He has no ill will towards the school. And I chose that to be in our poll because it was funny.
It is a funny name, objectively. I am a worrywart.
Yeah.
I worked there, and I don't, to be honest, because we're not even using direct terms, there's no way anyone's going to understand what we're talking about.
Right.
So, I love you all.
Yeah.
Listen to our podcast. I love you. Say it. I can't do that. That's someone else's bit routine. Okay.
Yeah, listen to our podcast.
Listen to our
buy
podcast.
Buy some stickers. Hit me up.
Also, so we've been keeping track of shout-outs. I'll run the numbers soon, but I'm going to put out, I think that for the last episode, there's like 5 or 6 people. The goal was at over 100 this year. We're probably at like 11 or 12 now.
Okay.
So we'll keep up with that. And we're also closing in on 100 follows on Instagram.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. We're like 75.
I think I might have mentioned this in the last episode, but our first episode of the podcast passed 100 listens.
And I think Olivia's must be close.
It's up there. It's like in the high 80s, I think.
Yeah.
So let's hope that Trevor has the same drawing power that Olivia does. No, it's at 85, which is good. Yeah, that's excellent. I'll give a quick shout out, even though she's been here on the podcast a couple times. Shout out to Lee for listening to every episode and giving us good feedback. Appreciated. Lee Land, hit her up. She's a very funny comedian.
She also has a show coming up.
By the time this comes out, it'll still be coming up. So she is producing and doing a set on a show at the Pit on February 13th, 2020.
The day before Valentine's Day.
I think as of now, the title is Not Your Mom's Rom-Com. So take a look at that. I'm going to be posting the flyer on my Instagram because I made the flyer and I'm hosting the show. So
that begs the question, whose rom-com is it? And I'll put my name out there if you're going to be drawn from that. I love a good rom-com. Jason Bateman.
It's
Jennifer
not your
Aniston.
Mom's rom-com. It's Connor's rom-com. It's a rom-conner, if you will. a rom-con.
What else? I think that's it. Right, folks? You right?
I think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all the logistical stuff we need to get through. It's crazy that we just like basically pretend we have a lot going on.
I'll also be doing photography for those shows. So, you know.
So, yeah, if you want comedians who are listening, Connor does show photography, show video. He does lots of stuff. As of now, I also make flyers and I host shows. So, hit us up if you want us involved.
We also both do stand up.
Oh, yeah. We both do stand up too. I made a good joke this week at an open mic, and hopefully one day
I like that joke.
I will make.
Is it the one about dating?
Yes.
I love that one so much.
You like that one?
Yeah,
that was good. Okay.
That's my type of comedy.
It was.
It's a wordplay. It's not wordplay. It's like it's silly.
Okay, should I just tell it right now? Or should I tell it?
No,
the end?
Save it at the end.
Ooh,
save it at the end.
The tension. Yeah. Okay.
What else?
End of the episode. Stay around to the end of the episode. You'll hear a new joke.
Yes.
That I wrote in one shot in 10 seconds.
I've had such a dry spell with jokes. I'm going to go through old notes. I have one theory, but I need to get a projector. I want to do songs. You'll all hear it one day. It's gonna be what makes me big. I'll explain it to you after.
I honestly love the words that end in B, and I love how you've made it crowd work and to say it with me. Like,
we were at this place the other night. And I noticed I went up first. We were at Buka, the one Lee's mic.
Lee hosts
Friday.
On Friday. I host on Monday. Come through.
And I realized I started my set. And the first joke I have is people need to be hearing the first part of it. You need to hear the setup to get like the three. They're not like tags. They're kind of separate punchlines.
Yeah.
But if you don't hear that first part, it's all going to fall flat.
Right.
And so I got halfway through. I don't know if anyone, maybe you were the only one paying attention because I like tried to grab your attention, tried to like bring someone in so the whole crowd would kind of look. And I was just like halfway through, I was like, no one's listening to this. So I immediately switched to crowd work. like the one joke that I have that's planned crowd work. And like, I got everyone's attention because I like asked a question for the room and then just like went into my set. It was fun.
That's a good method.
It was the first time I like threw out the plan, like organization of my set and was just like, I just need to do something to grab attention and then I'll figure out which jokes fit after.
Right. Yeah. I think I might have said this in the podcast. The most successful I've ever done that was I was doing an open mic in Boulder at Vision Quest Brewery on Thursdays. Go check it out. Anthony's a great host. Shout out to Anthony. He doesn't listen, but as far as I know, but he's an excellent host. Great open mic. But there was like probably 50 people in this brewery while we were doing the open mic. And I get up and no one is listening. And I just start going, to the window, to the wall. And everyone started singing it with me. And then after I got through that first little line, everyone was silent, paid attention to me, and I obliterated. And I was like, that's what's up. So I think it's important for comedians to have those things to wrestle a crowd back, especially if you're in a bar or a restaurant or not explicitly a comedy show where people are listening the whole time.
Yeah, I would continue with more comedy notes, but we said we want to keep with the editing work. We're trying to keep this just at or under an hour, and we're 20 minutes in. So you're first up this time, right?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. My town slaps. So it's
your town
a great.
Slaps?
It's great that it's ending. It slaps so hard. Slap at the bass. That's a rom-com reference for you out there. I love you, man.
Okay. Yeah. So this town this week.
Paul Rudd, Jason Segel.
I haven't seen it.
It's okay.
Anyway, this is a town that I picked. This was a fantastical scroll around the map until you hit something.
Oh, we're back to the original, the roots.
And I challenged myself to also do outside the United States.
Yeah.
This is Canada, but it's, you know, it's outside technically.
Well, it's going up to head to head with the town of the city of Dawson.
Yeah. And actually, when you look up coolest small towns in Canada, Dawson City is one of the big ones. So
one of them. It's the big one.
The big toe, if you will. but yeah, this is a place that like is not super like glamorous. I'm not gonna have any facts that are gonna razzle dazzle you, but I really want
to bedazzle.
No bedazzling facts. But this is a place that I think I would really like to visit because it sounds very pleasant. So this is a bit of a low-key town. But today I'm doing Gibson's, British Columbia.
In British Columbia, if we go to our trusty map on the wall, is
not on the
not
map.
Not on the map. Is it further up north?
Yeah, it's further north.
Okay.
Our map is only the U.S. So where Gibson's it's just north of Vancouver. So if
is that here attached to Alaska? No. We're moving across the room now.
No, it's too far north.
British Columbia. There it is.
That's too far north, though. It's not
BC. Right there. Right there. Southern Peninsula.
The difference
Southeast
between
Peninsula of Alaska is touching British Columbia.
Okay, you could probably fit Washington and Oregon between the area that's off the map there. Like, that's a very long stretch of coastline. But if we zoom in to Vancouver, Gibson's is right here. So it's at this little tip. I'm showing him in my Google.
Okay.
Map. So it's just across the water from Vancouver. Gibson's, British Columbia is the location. It's on something called the Sunshine Coast, British Columbia, on the Strait of Georgia.
We are in the same temperate rainforest this time, the two of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm imagining there's some with the Sunshine Coast that there's less rain and more sun.
Probably. I'm guessing by the name. The population is 4,605.
Very modest.
So it's a modest one. Yeah, it's no Monowai. okay. So fact number one, Gibson sits on the mainland of British Columbia, but it's not accessible by road. You have to take a boat or an airplane to get there because this coast is very mountainous.
Okay. I see. So it's kind of like some of the Alaska towns that I imagine are in my head.
Yeah. So one thing, I've only been to Vancouver once in my life and we drove up this coast. It is beautiful because you get the best of mountains and the best of ocean kind of just in the same spot. Like it's almost like Colorado style mountains, but with an ocean next to them.
I have a friend who lives in Vancouver and I've just heard lovely things.
It's great. Yeah, it's a really pretty city. About as expensive as San Francisco, though, apparently. Very expensive.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so you can't get there You can't get to Gibson's by road. You have to take a ferry, or you have to take a small plane, or
you have to teleport.
Yeah, or teleport. Or by looking at this map, I'm guessing you could swim.
Could you Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory TV it over?
Oh, I guess you could.
I guess you just have to be a lot smaller.
Honestly, that's underappreciated as a method of sci-fi transport.
Yeah, I think that is teleportation in some ways, because he goes from one side of the room to the other, but...
If you were teleporting into a TV show in that method, which TV show would you teleport into?
Nothing with murder.
Okay.
Like, Seinfeld seems like a pretty innocuous, is that the word I want to say?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Seinfeld is so balanced, though, that if you threw any other person into that show...
Oh, yeah, I'd be in the background. Get some soup. I just go to the Chinese restaurant. I just be in the background there.
Okay.
Like, wow, these people are really sad, mad?
I was actually watching Seinfeld last night.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite episode?
I don't.
Favorite character?
No, I don't. I haven't watched it all the way through. So I just have like seen episodes growing up. I want to watch it more.
I love it. What's funny though is it takes place in New York. The whole thing was shot in LA.
Yeah.
Hell, come on,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm curious too. I think it's shot in LA.
I don't know.
I'm
guessing it probably would be
NBC Studios.
I think the thing with New York is we have a lot of the late night shows here.
Yeah,
but we don't have full blown sets. We don't have a lot.
It's tougher to get room, but more with some of the tax laws changing recently, a lot of productions come to Pennsylvania and mm-hmm. New York, but I don't think necessarily in the city.
Okay.
It's kind of like how Atlanta became a hub for filming a lot of movies, but that's because there are tax incentives at some point. I think mm-hmm. some of them have started to spread up this way.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to get off Seinfeld and film. I've been on loads of movie sets. I'm a professional actor. I'm not. I'm in Connor's bedroom recording on mics without an arm. So fact number two. So actually, I'm just going to show you a picture of this place.
Oh, isn't that beautiful at home, folks?
It's just, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Look up Gibson's, BC. It's just a beautiful little harbor town.
That's nice.
Islands, water. Yeah, it's very pleasant. Fact number two. Gibson's, in 2005, won first place in the Berkeley Springs International Water Tasting Contest.
Ooh, we got some competition then.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, I'm pretty sure New York City has the best in the United States, but not the world.
New York?
Beth Page.
They used
to have good water.
Yeah, but they were number one at some festival.
Yeah.
Huh.
So from their website, the award, this is talking about the current one. This is kind of what goes on here. The award-winning 30th annual Berkeley Springs International Water Tasting welcomes more than 100 waters from across the country and around the globe on Saturday, February 22nd. Held in the historic spa town of Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, it is the largest water tasting competition in the world.
There's only 100 samples? Wow, this thing does not get much draw.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably every country probably has their own independent league of water tasting, and then they have it's like the Olympics. They have the best tasting water from each country. Furthermore,
how does anyone who works for that make money?
It doesn't matter. They're staying hydrated, so they're healthy and happy.
I'm healthy sometimes and happy sometimes, and I still need money.
You're not drinking enough water. It's literally free to be hydrated. Almost. No, it's not.
Well, yeah.
We're privileged to be able to hydrate for mostly free.
Yeah. We don't... Yeah. Yeah.
Quote, municipal waters compete for the coveted honor of best tasting tap water at 2:30 p.m. Bottled waters...
Which is the best time for drinking water.
Yeah, just tap water.
Just tap water.
Bottled waters, both still, sparkling, and purified, are judged at 6:30 p.m., along with waters in a new category, purified drinking water. All day Saturday, the public can taste along with the judges and have an opportunity to vote for the People's Choice Award for Best Packaging.
I so badly want to go and just do spit take after spit take. Oh my goodness.
Would that be funny if there was like a lot of drama at this water tasting event?
I would act it out with real water if we weren't in my room and this wasn't audio equipment.
Oh my gosh. That'd be honestly hilarious to crash that place and like be part of the civilian like competition, like judging, and you just have someone come up to you and tell you bad news or read you news headlines.
It's not even that. They just come up and whisper something nonsensical in my ear. And then I turn to whoever's next to me and do a spit take.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Oh my
goodness. You start drinking the water. I come in dressed like a Secret Service agent, yeah, and I come and whisper in your near ear, and you spray water over.
No, not my wife. Oh my goodness.
And then you continue tasting the water, yeah, afterward, like nothing happened. This is Spit Take Radio. So yeah, they 2005 they won best tasting drinking water.
Wow, who would have thought of something so prestigious held in West Virginia?
I know. Yeah, right. I think it's funny that we always shit on West Virginia, but they broke off from Virginia because they were Union and not Confederate back in the day.
Yeah.
So like, if anything, we should just shit on Virginia because they were on the wrong side of the war.
Yeah.
But we should be like, yeah, West Virginia, even though they're hillbillies, they're our hillbillies.
They are.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving on to the next fact. You're going to want to get some water in your mouth for this one.
All right.
No, you're not. There's no spit take here.
Well, challenge accepted.
Okay. Right into the microphone. Gibson's is extremely environmentally progressive. This is kind of their deal. Make sure you recycle. Make sure you have clean water, energy efficiency, all those things. Gibson's was the first town in British Columbia to accept styrofoam at its recycling facility.
Oh.
Gibson's Recycling Depot. I guess shout out. So, good job. Gibson's has won many environmental awards. In 2009, it was voted world's most livable community of under 20,000 by the United Nations endorsed international awards for livable communities. Gibson's also received first place amongst all world cities in livable communities planning for the future category.
That's interesting. That seems very broad. It seems like with the modern context and the context that you put it in, that it's like sustainability is mm-hmm. at the forefront of that, but the award itself does not talk about sustainability. It just talks about like, you have good ideas for the future.
Yeah. Planning for the future. They're like, we're going to get a pinball arcade. And yeah. They're like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. One. All right. That's cool. Yeah.
We're going to get a arcade bar, an arcade brewery, and people lose their minds.
That's cool. Also a little funny. I wish they were more specific. I wish, yeah, they were, like, they couldn't be more Pacific, though, because they're already real close. Ooh, one, whoa. Two, punch. All right.
Yeah, planning for the future category. Yeah. If you had to judge a place on best plan for the future, what would your criteria
Nowhere
be?
That I am, that's for sure. The furthest point away from me planning for the future. What would my criteria be? Criteria? I guess sustainability would be pretty high.
I would also include like city health, planning and infrastructure.
Planning, infrastructure.
If you can walk everywhere, you're planning for the future.
In theory, places... This is like the not quite there yet award.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if a place was perfect and had planned for the future perfectly, they wouldn't... Would they still be planning for the future? Would they be... I don't need to go through that logic. But I'd say, like, yeah, infrastructure is cool. I'm all for public transportation. Mm-hmm. I love rail. I think it's, like, it's really efficient, especially when there's traffic in cities. And it's also really convenient for elderly population, younger kids, if it's a safe place. That's pretty high in terms of, like, planning, like, yeah, natural resources, jobs, and, like, happiness. Also, like, how, like, the happiness index mm-hmm. of the people who live there. not close to natural disaster areas.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd say that's pretty high on the list, but you can't really plan for that.
No, you can't.
We got lucky. We're here.
We've got a lot of surprises in that category through the last 10 years, 20 years.
I guess energy, that's falls in the sustainability category.
I think it'd be funny if this was a category in the water tasting contest. Like, they have really bad water now, but in the future, they'll have good water.
It'll be, every other water will get much, much worse. So this is fine. This is still good.
they're betting on waters like they're racehorses, but through time instead of space. Like, I think this tap water from this town will be excellent in 10 years. Like, well, I think this water from this town will be terrible in 5 years.
Isn't that kind of what investing in like publicly traded water companies is?
I guess so.
Well, back to tax season, folks.
But yeah, right. But you don't invest in water being like, this one will win an award, and when it wins an award, my stocks will explode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, sweet. And no relation to the Gibson guitar.
No.
Okay. Because Gibson's a person, right? The guitar.
I think so.
Sure. Okay.
No idea.
It's not small town guitar podcast.
This is only the first of many other awards I was going to read off. Energy and Climate Action Award. Gibson's also received the Energy and Climate Action Award in Community Planning and Development in 2009, awarded by the Community Energy Association for the development of the Upper Gibson's Neighborhood Plan. Don't know what that means, but Energy and Climate Action. Communities in Bloom Awards, 2008 Provincial Champions, 2007 Provincial Champions Award for Environmental Awareness, and 2006 Provincial Champions for Best Floral Displays.
Ooh. I don't want to cut off your list. I have something.
Okay.
Is that the end of the list, or is that it?
No, I have many more, but you can go.
Okay. All I'm hearing over and over about the sustainability thing is, don't go there. Don't take the plane, because that's bad for the environment. Don't bring your dirty, dirty trash and stinky, stinky feet. Leave it the way it is. Is that what they're saying? I feel like that's not what we should be plugging for them, but it kind of sounds a little bit.
They would prefer you canoe to Gibson's.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, you admire their best floral displays of 2006.
That's very nice. I bet that's very pretty. But in 2006... So it just fell off?
I guess so.
Well, focus on one thing at a time, drinking water now.
Yeah, they got the, once again, like I said earlier, they got the best municipal water in the world in 2005. They got something called the OCP Award, Smart Growth BC in 2007. I couldn't figure out what that was. And they got the National Research Council Award for Environmentally Sensitive Development in 2006. So, all these things are in the early 2000s, so I'm thinking maybe they just stopped. They were like, you know, the world's burning around us. We're done.
It's not. Awards aren't what wins them over anymore. It's Gibson's, the future.
I challenge you to get 5 or 6 more awards in the 2020s to really bring that name back.
Yeah.
Fight me. Okay. Fact number 4.
Oh.
I have 5 facts total.
Oh.
Fact number 4. Gibson's is the setting of the famous Canadian broadcasting show, The Beachcombers. Never heard of it?
No. I was thinking, what is this? This hour has 60 minutes. This hour has 24 minutes. I've seen some CBC shows. Hmm. Nathan Fielder is started up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Some stuff, yeah.
My family's from Michigan, and my dad said him and his buddies in high school, since they lived in Michigan, they would get Canadian channels because they're close to the border. He'd say when they would like drink at their house and like chill or whatever, they would all watch curling on the Canadian network.
That's fun.
But The Beachcombers was a Canadian comedy drama TV series that ran from 1972 to 1990. And here's a very oddly specific fact. At 387 episodes, it is the third longest running dramatic series ever made for English language Canadian television.
That is so specific.
I know. I'm like, if it's the first longest, I understand making a point of that. But saying it's the third longest at 387 episodes is very, like, niche. Like, they're really reaching for a fact.
This is
there.
A control V, command V, copy, paste, wiki.
Yep.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of those. So, no. Yeah. No, that makes sense. It seems like something like, well, we need something else on our Wikipedia page. Let's put that in.
Yep. The show, it centers around log salvagers who recover logs that fall off barges and logging booms. So there's a main character, Nick, and his sidekick, I don't remember. They have a boat, and they find logs that have fallen into the Strait of Georgia, and they recover them, and I think they sell them. So, like, because there's a lot of logging in the area, or there was.
And this is a comedy?
Yeah. I watched some clips of it on YouTube. It's just, like, one of those lighthearted things. Like, if you saw it on PBS, you'd be like, yeah, this is about right.
Oh, okay.
It's just an easy comedy.
I was trying
to
figure out where the laughs were. I feel like there could be death in that show if you're, like, recovering logs in water.
Yeah. This isn't a History Channel type show. This is a CBC type show. The town itself of Gibson's is the main set or the main location in this TV show. The real town features the Molly's Reach Cafe, which is the cafe, kind of the centerpiece of the television series where the characters go. And
yeah, the friends, the Grind? No, not the Grind. Cafe and Friends.
I wish I could remember. Because there's a Lego set that's you can get the cafe from Friends in a Lego set. And it had a name, so I've seen it a lot.
Do one of the Legos have the Rachel haircut?
Central Perk,
that's yeah. Right.
Yeah, so they've got the Molly's Reach Cafe, which is in the TV show as the centerpiece. It's a real place you can go and eat. The boat of the main character is called the Persephone, and they have the boat in the town. And their local museum has a display about the show.
Yeah,
so
cool.
They really owned up to this show took place here, and we're gonna have everything out for people.
Yeah.
So it's one of their big tourist attractions. And last but not least, fact number 5. One of my favorite metal musicians of all time, Devin Townsend, lived or lives there. Unclear, but he was a notable resident, and he
Why don't
is,
we just call him?
Yeah, let's call
fine.
Him.
That's fine. That's the easiest way.
That'd be great. You know, I'd love to we had anyone on the show, I would absolutely die because I love him so much. He was the front man and mastermind of Strapping Young Lad and Devin Townsend Project, which are
both
all fantastic.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Basically, Strapping Young Lad is very chaotic, like extreme metal, very good, but that was when he wasn't sober, and then he sobered up, quit the band, and then made his own Devin Townsend Project, which... The way he writes music is very dramatic and musical. So if you've ever listened to like Meatloaf, it's kind of that operatic storyline. So you listen to a whole album of his, and it's basically like you're listening to a metal musical.
See, when I think of metal music, I think it should be person banging another metal pipe with a metal pipe.
That's like grindcore.
That's confusing.
There's a lot of
I like folk revival music, folks.
Ooh.
You have no idea. You're looking at me like...
I don't even need to know specifically what artists, but I already know that everyone at that show is wearing leather boots and one of those circular hats.
It's not a country show. What do you mean circular hats? Which hats aren't circular?
Like
the 10-gallon hat?
They look like 10-gallon hats, but they're flat. They don't curve upward.
It's like Bob Dylan.
Okay. It's bluegrass adjacent type music.
It's folk music.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me get my metal pipes and bang them together.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so that's a Gibson's, British Columbia. Very pretty. Like look at this view.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any Canadian listeners yet. Actually,
well,
I know
I
we
should.
Do.
My friend who's from Canada now lives in LA, but I will ask if she listens, and I'm sure she's going to say no, and then I will force her to listen, so.
Yeah, this is one of those places that, like, if we got a picture, I'd be very stoked. I do know that we do have at least one Canadian listener, because on our stats on Anchor, it shows listeners by country, and we had less than 1% are Canadian. We also have UK and Australia listeners.
It really could be the friend I'm talking about. I don't know who else would... I'll ask her.
Alaska. I was thinking, okay, if you send us photos of a place that you've been to, we'll just send you a sticker for free.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So do that. Okay, so I'll reach out to the people who have sent us photos already.
That means also suggest them to us and they make it onto the show. We'll send you the sticker for free.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Through our email?
Yeah. smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you want to do an ad plug or is that our ad plug?
I have one that came to my mind. We're at 44 minutes. Perfect. So my time, I'll power through. I got one. Clearly, well, it's, I don't have one. This is important. These are the people who pay us week to week. Our sponsors, because Corkboard, right?
Corkboard
is my
sponsor.
You
don't say.
Yeah, and it's like, you might be thinking it's that thing you think you put on the wall and you put tacks in. No, it's not. It's the thing that you say when you're bored. Cork! Cork!
Ugh.
Cork! Ew. See, I'm not bored anymore, folks. This ad, this podcast brought to you by Corkboard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Noise Canceling Headphones. Cork reminds me of dartboards. And I knew someone back in Boulder who was collecting corks to make these massive dartboards, which were very cool, actually. I don't know if he listens. He probably doesn't, but...
Brought to you by friends who don't listen.
Yeah, friends who don't... That would be funny. A podcast that's just...
Talking about friends who'll never hear it.
Yep, exactly. It's a call-out podcast, so you just talk shit about everyone until they listen to it and hear where you're talking shit about them.
And then they never... then they're off the list. It's like your target audience, and then you just keep on talking about them until they actually listen, then they're no longer on the list.
Or you just make up a bunch of people you're talking shit about so that you tell everyone, I talked about you on my podcast, and they're like, oh, really? And you're like, yeah, go listen to it. And they listen to all the episodes thinking it'll get to them, but it never does.
That's funny.
All right.
Fake people. All right, my town.
Ooh, yeah, we're ready.
So we've done Washington, we've done California, we've done now the BC up in Canada.
I guess this is an Oregon town?
This is an Oregon town. Very good. Very good geography skills.
You have died of dysentery.
The Oregon Trail, yes. We've talked about the Oregon Trail a little bit. So now I'm just going up and down our map. This concludes our west coast of the United States. This is the first Oregon town, and it is Astoria, Oregon. Location... Northwest Oregon, very like not far from the Pacific. It's along the south shore of the Columbia River, which serves as a divide between Oregon and Washington. So it's right there on the Columbia River.
Okay.
And I'd say it's like you could very easily drive to the Oregon coast in a short period of time. Population in 2010, 9,477. And the estimate in 2018, 9,976. So it's a little bit larger than modest.
So I'm taking the small town award this episode.
Yeah. But overall,
this is right up there.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's so fact number one. You talked about one TV show that I've never heard of. It sounds kind of cool, but Astoria has been the location of a number of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, any guesses? Don't look at my notes.
Let me think. Bird Box.
No, I'll give you one hint. Let's see if you can get it. It's a type of dessert. The phrase that will help you is a type of dessert mixed with a dance.
Oh man.
I'm truffle shuffle.
Oh, the Goonies.
Yeah. Goonies were filmed, in 1985 up in there.
If you had said a fungus in a dance, I would have said truffle shuffle.
Oh, okay. Desserts.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are dessert truffles, but that's not what I think of.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was thinking like a truffle cake.
Truffle chocolates.
Yes.
We had some very good fungus on Chinese New Year.
Yeah? Oh, I missed
that. You were there.
Did you? I didn't come... After.
Oh.
Yeah.
We had a lot of mushrooms.
Happy Chinese New Year. Well, yeah, it's like 2 weeks out now, but...
Yeah. Happy Lunar New Year to our Chinese listeners. Lee and Pandora were very nice cooking food for
us. Yes.
Shout outs.
We already shouted out Lee. Now we got Pandora. Well, okay. So...
okay. Anyway.
Because we were trying to keep it under that hour mark for you folks. More for us than for you, but...
yeah. Got a lot of...
So,
edit out.
The Astoria... So the Goonies, the setting was in Astoria, Oregon, and it was also filmed there.
Oh, really? So yeah. The three islands in the movie are real islands.
I assume so. I don't know. Other notable movies filmed in Astoria include Kindergarten Cop.
Oh.
Free Willy.
Oh.
Free Willy 2, The Adventure Home.
No way.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 3.
Wow.
The Ring 2.
Ooh.
And Into the Wild.
Wow.
There's more on the list, but those are the ones that I could actually point to and be like, I know what this is.
So this is a very popular filming location.
Yeah, though. Yeah, yeah. There's a number of things that are... It is popular. It's kind of picturesque. It's like a coastal town, and I guess it was a bigger place. There's more population. So that's fact. One fact two is, so the population peaked in the 1920s,
mm-hmm.
With 14,000. So it's been,
okay.
It's shrunk since then. That's kind of like a, we'll get to it. So it was founded, Astoria was founded in 1811, and which makes it the oldest city in the state of Oregon. Bad word. And was the first American settlement.
Oh, you chose a city this episode. Did I? Yes, you did.
Let's look it up.
Yep, it literally says on Wikipedia.
It's a port city. Oh no, I'm the first one to. Yeah,
that's me, shooting Connor.
Oh my goodness, I thought you guys size is not the indicator. Well, that goes. That concludes my research.
That's the end of that episode.
I'll go through it. You know what? Cardinal sin. Let's have a moment of silence. All right. So okay. You can still learn about this less than place.
Okay. The bad word. The bad place.
Just know, folks, when you see a sign for under 10,000, doesn't make it a town. I'll learn this lesson so you don't have to.
Simba, everything the light touches is yours. But Dad, what's that over there? That's a city, Simba. We don't go there.
Well, it's the oldest blank in the state. I read over this. Oh, my goodness. It was the first American settlement west of the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Great fact.
Temper that wow.
That is a good fact.
He's trying to make me feel better.
No, I'm serious. That's cool. The type of fact I love.
Yeah, so you'll like this. This is all the history. So the city is named after John Jacob Astor.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
Almost. An investor from New York City. Where is that, you might ask? Well, I don't know. And with the American Fur Company, founded in Fort Astoria at the site. It's just found at the site, you know. There's a Fort Astoria. It's in Astoria. It's cool.
Okay.
And then in 1811, so when the town was founded, the British explorer David Thompson, the first person known to have navigated the entire Columbia River, reached the partially constructed Fort Astoria near the mouth of the river. He arrived just 2 months after the Pacific Fur Company's ship, and they finished the fort up there. And this is important. They established Astoria as a U.S. rather than a British settlement, which became a vital post for American exploration of the continent and was later an American, was used as an American claim in the Oregon boundary dispute with European nations.
Hmm.
So, like, put the stake in the ground. It was like, this is America, Donald Glover.
And you said that's, they use the Columbia River as reference?
No. Well, Columbia River divides it now. He was the first person to. David Thompson was the first person to navigate the entirety of the Columbia River.
Mm-hmm.
First European person. And he ended up at Fort Astoria, which the fur company had been at. And like
how did they decide the borders?
I don't know that.
Oh,
I don't.
But he was involved in that process.
Well, he was. So this was between the U.S. and European nations at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was important that the U.S. had a stake out there, but I mean, I'm not exactly sure how it works because Oregon is not the border between the U.S. and Canada now. So I don't exactly know, but we like put claims
in
that area, which later helped us when deciding if it was our land. This land is your land or this land is my land.
Yeah. Wow.
Oregon. So
nice.
There's a lot of history, and this is the town. This is, I was going to say this is a town that we can return to, but clearly not because it's on that. That's an X sound.
I'm
going to
bleep
list.
Out the C word.
We're just going to bleep out this entire second half. Pause for bleep. Okay. You're done with that, folks.
Yeah.
The U.S., it was the first U.S. post office west of the Rocky Mountain was established in Astoria in 1847.
Wow.
And this isn't directly added to the Astoria. This can't be attributed to Astoria because it's technically about approximately 5 miles southwest of there. But the Lewis and Clark expedition spent the winter of 1805-1806 at Fort Clatsop, C-L-A-T-S-O-P, a small log structure approximately 5 miles southwest, like I said. So Lewis and Clark ended their expedition, and they were actually waiting for a ship to find them on the Oregon coast, not far from Astoria itself. It made it on the Wikipedia page. I don't want to labor on it because it's not technically about the town, but Oregon
it's
also...
so close. Like, look at this map.
Yeah. I mean, Oregon also has some, like, natural areas that are, like, aren't really parts of cities. It's just kind of like, let me see. I have the word written down. State natural areas.
Huh.
So it's like,
what is that?
It's like, I'm not entirely sure because this wasn't a part of the town itself. Mm-hmm. But I do know because not from personal experience, even though I was out in Oregon for 4 years, when my sister went up to travel and went to some of the national parks, went out to Crater Lake out there, I think what she said was Oregon's one of the only states where you don't need like a permanent address for your driver's license. Mm-hmm. You can be like a person living in an RV that kind of travels around, which makes sense in my head when you learn that there's just some natural areas. So it's like, there's no like really established places.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's not like this. It's not a part of the city. So, that it was not as a painted brush stroked up. But yeah, that's so it has a lot of history west of the Rockies, like it was an establishing point for the US.
A lot of firsts.
Yeah, a lot of firsts. And facts, this is fact 2.5. The town actually, the city burnt down twice. Yeah.
You think they would have given up?
So in 1883 and again in 1922, downtown Astoria was devastated by a fire.
Fool me once.
Partially because it was mostly wood and entirely raised off the marshy ground of pilings. After the first fire, the same format to rebuild the town was used, which, shame on you, shame on me. That's really on them. So what they did, to help stop this, the fire the second time is they started blowing up some buildings so they couldn't be burnt down. Like they couldn't continue to burn down the town.
Fool me twice.
Yeah. Blow up my own building.
Denver actually had a similar thing. Mm-hmm. Because when it first was established, it was all wood buildings because it was like a trading encampment. And then I think it was in the 1870s, they had a fire that destroyed everything.
Yeah.
And they made a law that there was no wooden buildings allowed in the city limits after that.
That makes sense.
They prevented the thing that this town did not understand.
Yeah. I mean, 1922, you think, well, what was it? When was it built again? The 1883? Yeah, I think you'd have some understanding, but we're closing on that hour mark, so I'll skip over because there was a lot of the town was a big canning town for a while, a lot of canneries, also a lumber town, which is why they might have decided, hey, let's do this whole thing again with wood.
We got the best wood, folks.
Yeah, so they, and then eventually like Seattle and Portland kind of took over as the big port places in that area. People started to leave there, and it's now today, which is the third fact. This is like a nice portrait of a plant of a place, you know, nice snapshot. So today Astoria is not burnt down. It's a beautiful town.
Nice.
It's not the fur trapping, lumber milling, having cannery town it once was, but there's a thriving microbrew scene, as there is all over Oregon, with beautiful wildlife to be seen, such as California sea lions that kind of rested out on the port.
Mm-hmm.
Cruise ships, when the swine flu had its big outbreak, it didn't go down to Mexico, so they ended up staying in Astoria. So, you know, you get some touristy people. You have Saddle Mountain nearby, which is a nice hiking area, which is actually in the Saddle Mountain, is technically in the Saddle Mountain State Natural Area. So it's not like in Astoria, but some of the trailheads are located in Astoria. So you can go up, you can hike, you can see nature.
That's a nice mountain. I'd like that mountain.
Yeah, no, it's just like a, it's a happy, I mean, yeah. It's got some, Oregon has some beautiful views as it is.
I haven't been there. I feel like going to CU Boulder, there was a lot of competition with your school, OU, obviously.
U of O. University of Oregon.
Ducks?
Go Ducks.
Okay, yeah.
OU's Ohio or Oklahoma.
Oh, okay, yeah. U of O, yeah. So, or O of U. U of O,
Oregon of University.
But yeah, even despite the competition, the rivalry between our schools, like it was kind of understood that like for Boulderites, like Oregon is like one of the next best places because it has like a lot of natural beauty,
yeah,
a lot of the outdoor culture, and a lot of breweries.
Yeah, no, I guess Colorado has a decent microbrew scene too, right?
Oh, not. Way more than decent.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon's the same. Like, it's big. I think it started to come to the East Coast more, but microbrews are a big thing out there.
Craft brews.
And just to wrap up, so you have events, you have downtown, you have some type of nightlife, downtown strip, all that stuff. But it also has some of the best Victoria and Queen Anne-style houses the Pacific Northwest has to offer.
Ooh.
Which is a certain architectural style.
Nice.
Which... You know, if you're into that stuff, it's got a bit of everything. But yeah, Astoria is a place with some history, a place with some today, and a place with some Goonies.
Very cool. I mean, I'm looking at the pictures. This is like, we picked two beautiful coastal,
it was
coastal towns.
It was very, very similar. Well, town and
city
and bleep. Yeah. Size, folks. I wanted to say size does matter so often, but I was like, I'm not going to do that.
I'm not that type of podcast host.
And the only way to say it is to say it, get the laugh, and then immediately explain after that you didn't want to say it, but you had to. That's...
I know the feeling. Sometimes I make jokes off the top of my head, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not like that.
So, well...
Good pick. Thank you for your research.
Yeah, I know.
Ha! Beat you to it.
What do you mean, beat me? There was no
to
race.
The, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for yours.
Yeah, so give us a follow. Keep listening to this show.
Yeah.
Send us suggestions. Send us pictures. We'll give you stickers. Come buy stickers. DM us.
Let's try and push rates this week. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. And
absolutely.
If
you rate us and send us a screenshot of your rating, I will just send you a sticker.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll just do that. Yeah. I'm going to send you, if you contribute in any way, I'm giving you a sticker. Otherwise, stickers are $3.
Yes. Your Instagram can be found on the page. My Instagram can be found on the page. The page is ST Radio Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Follow the podcast. Follow us. Time for a joke.
Yeah. The time we've all been waiting for.
Dun, dun, dun.
I came up with this one on Friday in about a half second. So I was seeing this girl and she came over and we had the talk. She said, "What are we?" And I said, "Carbon based."
No, I love it. I love it so much.
So dumb.
I didn't laugh because I already heard it and I almost doubled over because it's such my sense of humor. It's beautiful.
It was ridiculous because like literally right before the open mic, we were doing Chinese New Year stuff and eating food. And our buddy Chris, shout out to Chris, if you ever listens. Actually, he just followed us. So Chris, shout out to Chris.
Yeah, because I followed him first.
Okay.
I knew he'd follow back.
Shout out to Chris. But he comes in. He's like, "Yeah, I haven't seen this girl." And she finally had the talk and she said, "What are we?" And my brain immediately went to carbon based.
Yeah.
Like, why would you say something serious after that when you can make a joke? Like,
yeah.
What are we? Mostly water. I don't know.
I love it.
That one has a lot of interchangeable punchlines.
Yeah.
I'll try other ones. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much for listening. This has been
Small
Town Radio.
You're
welcome. I
listened the whole time.
Listen, rate, subscribe, hit us up for stickers, send us pictures. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.